I like saying Happy New Year, don't you? I don't know if part of that's because there's such a limited window when you can appropriately say it. But it has this phrase, two words in it, that make it uplifting and positive. Happy. And who doesn't want to say that? We like things that make us happy. And this time of year has a lot of those things. But it also has the word new. And that word itself makes us happy. We like new things. Today we started new classes. And those are always exciting. You ask a little kid, what did you get for Christmas? And they'll describe some new toy that they have. What was it that would bring the greatest audience reaction in the game show The Price is Right? When they open up the showroom doors and the announcer says, a new car. That's what you're playing for. Just wouldn't have the same effect if they said, a certified pre-owned automobile can be yours. No, it's new. Brand new. And we like new things. The Bible uses the word new quite a bit. A new commandment, Jesus said, I give to you, that you love one another. Don't put new wine, he said, in old wineskins. Or the reverse, don't put old wine and fresh wineskins. But the word new as used in the scriptures usually falls into one of three categories that I want us to consider on this new year, first Lord's Day of 2022. The first way that the word new is used in the Bible is the idea of fresh. Something that is refreshed. Much like the new moon of the Jewish calendar. That wasn't something that was created new every single month. It just talked about the fresh new cycle of the moon. The second way the word is used is with regard to being different. And this is something that did not exist before, but now is new. It's created. And then the third way is the final. Something is new in that it is the last and there is no other to follow it. Would you consider those three uses of the word new as we think about our own relationship with the Lord this morning? Fresh. What do we mean when we say fresh? Well, the first passage I want us to look at is in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. This is the book written by the weeping prophet Jeremiah. As the word in the title suggests, these are his laments or his sorrows for Israel and for their condition before God and God's answer to these laments. So in Lamentations, the third chapter, at verse 19 beginning, remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. He said, I remember the times of disappointment, of wormwood and bitterness. And we all had those times this past year. We all had occasions where we were discouraged, or through our own sinful choices, we were downtrodden. And Jeremiah said, what I did in those times is I remembered the hope in the Lord. I remembered the past times when He rescued me, when I called out for Him. And He responded and He said, therefore, I have hope. Why? Because, He said, your loving kindness and your compassion, verse 23, they are new every morning. Every day, we have an opportunity to be refreshed by God's mercy and loving kindness. Aren't you thankful for that? That there's never a time where we appeal to God for forgiveness and He says, you're all used up. Don't have any more to give. You've exceeded the limit. Jeremiah says, they are new every morning. And God even said, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. You need that kind of fresh start for 2022? That's how the word is used. In verse 24, he says, the Lord is my portion, therefore I have hope in him. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the one who seeks him. That reminds us of Isaiah chapter 40. Would you go there? Isaiah chapter 40. And look at how Isaiah uses this word new with regard to fresh. Isaiah 40 verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Why are you? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow tired. They will walk and not become weary. Long before there was ever a phoenix by the name of Fox who rose from the ashes in the cycle of his life, there was the knowledge of eagles who molt their feathers. The feathers that become old and dirty are shed, and new ones are produced, and they gain new strength and new vigor. Just as God's people can grow weary or tired, we need to be refreshed. We need to find the hope in God who will give us new strength, who will cause our souls to be refreshed to the point that we do walk and not grow tired, run and not become weary, soar with wings like eagles. We need to be refreshed in our hope in God's loving kindness for us. We need a new sense to understand these things of old. And God gives that to us. And we ought to use this occasion of a new year to make those new decisions, to be better and to do better. The second way the Bible uses the word new is not just fresh, but secondly, different. It would be like all of those times in the Psalms where the statement is made, sing to the Lord a new song. A different song. That didn't mean just take one of the old ones and rework it, or change the rhyme, or change the music. No, it meant that God had done some great thing for Israel, and they needed to write a brand new song to thank Him and praise Him for what He had done. Sing to the Lord a new song. So this sense is that which didn't exist before, but now it's been brought into being. It is brand new. In Romans, the 6th chapter, that's how Paul uses this new as he talks about the new birth. Romans chapter 6. Look at his question in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who die to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we who have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. There was a preacher who had gone for a meeting, and during the course of the meeting, he baptized two young boys. They were brothers. And he got asked back to the same church a year later, and he was excited. He wanted to go back and to see how those young boys were doing in their new walk. And when he first came in, the younger of the two brothers came up to him, and he greeted him, and he said, "Well, how is your brother?" And he said, "Oh, you baptized him," but he said, "he was no different." Paul's point about baptism here, about should we just continue sinning that God's grace may increase and that'll show how great He is? And he said, no way. We died to sin. We were buried in a watery grave. That man was put to death. And just as Jesus was buried and rose from the dead, so baptism is also a resurrection. He said, you rise to newness of life. How many times have you heard people express that very same thing coming up out of the water? Newness of life. We were dead and without hope, God gave us new life. That's why Paul would then say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 about those who were baptized into Christ, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. You see, it didn't exist before, but now it's been made alive. It's a new creation. That's why the NIV says it this way. we too may have new life. You remember what Nicodemus wanted to know when he found Jesus at a private moment in John chapter 3, came to him by night. Here was a Pharisee who probably wanted to avoid the crowds of people wondering, well, what's he going to talk to Jesus about? And Jesus told this ruler, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And you know what heading the translators of the New American Standard Bible give John 3? The new birth. It's new. It's different. It wasn't there before. We are a completely new creation. And we're supposed to be different. It should be evident that we're a new creation. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice what Paul said at verse 17. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you may lay aside the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Do you not see that in the beginning it is said, God made man in his image? That's one creation. But a brand new creature, he's to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. He's supposed to look different and talk different and be different. He's new. Does that describe the goals you have for 2022? I'm going to be different. Not going to be like those of my former self. That's who I was. It's not who I am now. To be new means to be different, to bring into being that which did not exist before. Let that be our resolution for this new year. And then the third way that this word is used is with regard to the new age. It means final. There's not anything that's coming after this new thing. It would be like with regard to the new covenant, which was prophesied of old. Jeremiah talked about it. Isaiah talked about it. But it's quoted for us in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, at verse 7. This new covenant which was spoken of through their own Jewish prophets. It should not have been a surprise to them. But it was to accomplish what God had purposed from the foundation of the world. Look at Hebrews, the 8th chapter, starting at verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, days are coming. Here's where he quotes from Jeremiah 31. I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. When he said a new covenant, he made the first obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. You see here a contrast of these two covenants. Each of them had a special purpose from God. But with the old covenant, you were born into it. You were a son of Abraham, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Your parents, if you were a Hebrew boy, your parents made the decision for you to be circumcised according to the law. And then as you grew of age, you were taught the law. You were taught about God. He said, in the new covenant, they will decide. They will write it on their own hearts. They will learn it with their own minds. They will make the choice to be circumcised of heart. You won't need to say, now that you're part of the covenant, come know the Lord. He said, they'll already know me. They will have already made the choice. This will be a new covenant. Better sacrifices, a better high priest, better promises. And we need to understand it's God's final covenant. There won't be another. There won't be another Savior. There won't be another revelation. This is final. He makes the point in Hebrews, if they refused Moses, well, they could wait until the time of Jesus. But when you refuse Jesus, the Son of God, there's not going to be another sacrifice for sins. This new is final. And of course, it's used with relation to the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation chapter 21. Again, something that was prophesied of old, but now finally comes to fruition in the last two chapters of the Bible. The first two have to do with the creation of the heavens and the earth that we see. These last two chapters of the Bible have to do with a new heaven and earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." God does not promise us a renovated version of what we see. "I am making all things new." And if it is so that this present heavens and earth, which are going to be burned up, which were meant for man's temporary dwelling, if this present heavens and earth can produce for us such beautiful things and wonderful memories, can you imagine what the new heavens and the new earth will be? Here he had to place a sun for light. There will not need to be a sun in the new heavens and earth. God's presence himself will be the light. Here he had to cause a separation because of sin, where he would hide his face from us. But in the new heavens and earth, we shall see his face. It's his final new. But he says that these are for those who overcome, for those who persevere. These things await those who are faithful until death. Of all your plans that you're making for 2022, is heaven on the list? Eternity? The new heaven and the new earth? Let's be certain we don't lose sight of God's final offer. Because there is another sense in which the word new is used in the Bible. "Depart, I never knew you." Is it time to make a fresh beginning? Will today be the occasion of your new birth? To be different, so that you can have the hope of the final promise, where all things are made new. No more disease, no more pain, no more death. All things are new. Why don't you come and put the old man to death this morning? Why don't you come to rise to newness of life, confessing your faith in Jesus and having your sins washed away? His mercies are new every morning. Do you need those this hour? If we can assist you, encourage you, if you need to make yourself right with God, do it right now while we stand and while we sing.